This is URN.
And we are now moving on to our international story, which is all about Qatar and the World Cup. So, this is the news that security forces in Qatar have arbitrarily arrested and abused LGBT citizens as recently as last month, according to the Human Rights Watch. This report comes just weeks before the Gulf Arab state hosts the 2022 Men's Football World Cup. The citizens say they have been detained without charge in an underground prison in Doha and subjected to verbal and physical abuse, including kicking and punching. One individual said they were held for 2 months in solitary confinement. The group added that transgender women detainees were forced to attend conversation therapy sessions at a government-sponsored clinic. A Qatari official said in a statement that the Human Rights Watch's allegations contain information that is categorically and unequivocally false. He added, "Qatar does not tolerate discrimination against anyone, and our policies and procedures are underpinned by a commitment to human rights for all." However, homosexuality is currently legal in the conservative Muslim country, and some football stars have raised concerns over the rights of fans travelling to the event. So, what do you guys think of these allegations and the kind of general controversy that they've created?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I think for a good while now, for years and years, Qatar have kind of had a bit of a reputation for their persecution of the queer community. And even that being said, it's sort of incredibly disheartening to see that going on so close to the World Cup, with so many international fans coming from all over the world, and especially with, you know, it's World Cup football in an ideal world should sort of represent the best of humanity, sort of working together and playing sort of competitively and nicely against each other. And you see stuff like this, and it's sort of, you just think, you know, what has it come to that sort of people that do this should be allowed to host kind of such a major event? I mean, as for what the Qatari government said, does not tolerate discrimination against anyone, and policies and procedures underpinned by a commitment for human rights to all, I certainly don't buy. Yeah, I certainly don't buy that in 1 minute. I mean, whether or not, you know, whether or not it's persecution against, like, LGBT people or journalists that criticise the government or really anyone else that they sort of deem, I don't know, morally below their rules. Yeah, I certainly don't believe that one bit. But no, it's just, I don't know, I'm not surprised, but still disappointed and angry, really.
Yeah, interestingly, we were discussing this at the station, and some people were talking about how the Qatari government has already had to backpedal over the last few months.
Yes.
in terms of how it deals with the LGBT community, because I think initially they said, you know, you are not allowed to express any forms of, like, public affection, you can't express your sexuality or your identity at all. And now they've had to kind of backpedal and say, okay, you can express it, but we will not be held responsible if there are any actions done against you. And I think they've also kind of, they've not said to the police, you know, do not persecute these people. So I think we will see kind of, I guess, when the tournament starts, how far people are allowed to go.
And certainly
what the kind of reaction is from the local people and from the authorities.
Yeah, because if, like, even as a government, if you're saying, oh, well, we'll backpedal and say, oh, you're allowed to do this, if you're not sending, you know, direct, clear messages to public, law enforcement, whatever, it can be an absolute recipe for disaster. With that many people there, in a country that societally sort of views a lot of these things as bad, then the incidents will happen, and they can still somehow claim that it's nothing to do with them. I mean, It's like an arsonist trying to apologise that the house caught fire. It's like, well, you lit the match, mate. You know, this is the issue that you caused. So, I don't know. It's just a massive, massive pain, really.
Yeah, I think. I mean, this World Cup, since its sort of inception, has been controversial, and I think the sort of LGBT rights part of it is just one aspect. I mean, the World Cup was granted to Qatar in 2009, wherein two officials who voted for it have subsequently been arrested. Sepp Blatter, who was the president of FIFA at the time, has subsequently been arrested after the CIA or the FBI raided the FIFA offices. So this is, I mean, it's not too controversial to say it is an illegal World Cup that's been bought. Qatar don't have a football, or didn't have a football team when they got the World Cup. So it is, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic, because it is that idea of sports washing that we see so much nowadays, where they're trying to paint or create a new reputation for themselves, paint themselves in this positive light, but that does clash with their sort of existence as a theocracy, where these values, which clash with, I suppose, the established Western values that we hold, they clash there. But the things we've seen, obviously, in recent years, if you follow football...
Russia.
The Russian World Cup was controversial in and of itself. But you see, sort of, gay rights, more gay players are coming out now, which makes, as sort of in the run-up to the World Cup, which sort of makes it an even more pressing issue, which I think Qatar have sort of failed to address, to be honest. When you look at it, certain teams have... No teams have boycotted the World Cup, as they have previously. But I think Denmark have... They've changed their kits. They've got rid of all their logos on the kits, which, I mean, it may just be a PR stunt, but I think it's aimed at highlighting both that the LGBT issues and the migrant crisis, wherein I think The Guardian estimated about 4,000 migrant workers have died just building these stadiums, because they didn't have stadiums, they didn't have the infrastructure before the World Cup was given to them. So it has just been a humanitarian and sort of moral disaster on so many levels.
Certainly.
That you do wonder how it's been able to be given to them. Well, money, I guess.
I think the sports washing point is especially relevant, and we've talked about British Cycling's Shell partnership on the Pulse before, and we've talked about Gazprom before, but I think this represents probably one of the biggest modern examples that we've seen, because this is projected to attract 1.2 million visitors to Qatar for the duration of the event, which is a huge number, and we're looking at like $17 billion added to the Qatari economy because of this, and that is an insane amount of profit that is going directly to this very, very reactionary, socially regressive government. And that's why I think it's important that we consider our own role in supporting this event. And what do you guys think? Do you think it's right that no teams have actually pulled out of this? Because I think if there were any opportunity on the international stage to take a stand for human rights, I think this would be it. And yet no one has done so.
I think it's... I'll let some of you guys go afterwards, but I think it's difficult, right? Because if you imagine only one team or one country was to rule themselves out of a tournament, it sort of creates a lot of pressure on the other teams, and there may be a feeling that if we're gonna step out, all of us need to step out, or at least there needs to be a sort of coalition of countries that can agree on this principle. Because say if it was. Even if it was a major country like England or France or another important team, I think the impact would be lessened, because it would be seen as an outlier position rather than the norm. Whereas if it was, you know, say the majority of Europe or the majority of kind of Western nations, I think it would send a much bigger message to Qatar and to other nations about this issue. I mean, I know that the England team specifically have been supporting the One Love Inclusion campaign, and there's been a lot of moves in recent time within English football and international football for kind of inclusion and diversity and all these important issues that we're seeing. So I think certainly it wouldn't be out of the question for them to pull out, but I think there's still that kind of lingering feeling that they don't want to, I guess also in a more selfish way, you know, They don't want to not play in the World Cup. I mean, it's the biggest football tournament.
Exactly.
It's one of the biggest I mean, it probably is one of the biggest, the biggest sporting event in the world. I mean, I think there's a certain amount that people don't want to give that up, regardless of, you know, the country that's hosting it.
And it, I mean, football, especially on an international level, is just such a massive machine. Even if you're looking at like the management of one team and how all of that's coordinated. So, you know, even if the, you know, the football stars had a bit of an objection to what's going on here, they're not really the ones pulling the strings. And I mean, as for coordination, yeah, because if you're just, if you're, you know, one country, it looks a bit of a, you know, either way, it's not particularly brilliant, because it's less, it will be less of an impact abroad. And then if you are the sole country that pull out, then obviously the reaction back home is going to be certainly negative. I mean, I could imagine what the tabloids and, you know, people on social media and would say if Britain pulled out, England pulled out on the basis of something like this. It would be crazy. So it's a very kind of hard tightrope to walk. And looking from another viewpoint is that, you know, if we're talking about, you know, Western nations pulling out of such a thing, then does that, you know, reinforce the Qataris government position to their own people, almost like, oh well, these are just the Western countries who have got different views from us doing this kind of stuff again. Ah, oh, who cares about them? Type thing. What does it actually achieve?
Yeah, it's very as a reminiscent protest of what we saw in the late 1900s with the Americans and the Soviets boycotting each other's Olympic events. But I do think, reflecting on that, it does show what our priorities as an international community are.
Because
we were able to very collectively mobilize sort of opposition to, yeah, like the Soviets hosting the Olympics in Moscow, for example, and they were able to do that with American events. And I think this really says that the international community doesn't prioritize these social issues that are going on in Qatar enough to mobilize any sort of opposition to their hosting it. Because I think if we look a bit deeper as well, Qatar, obviously essential to maintain good relations with Middle Eastern countries for oil reasons and all sorts of trading concerns.
Especially after the past year,
exactly. So I think it's unrealistic that anyone is actually going to make a moral stand here, because there are profit motives involved on both sides. Qatar benefits from this. This is good for their international prestige. And the West, although we don't talk about it, we benefit from it too. So it looks like the people being swept under the rug here are going to be the victims of the Qatari morality police, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I would sort of say, in sort of devil's advocate, that would be, say, if you are one of just a few nations to pull out, you're then not visible at the World Cup. So whatever message, your message that, you know, you're opposed to anti-LGBT legislation or opposed to anti-LGBT regimes, that message then isn't prominent at the World Cup because you're not there. So that idea of England wearing the, was it like rainbow armbands, I think they were.
But they're not even proper rainbows, that's the thing.
Yeah, but at least there's sort of, there's that motive there. But I think it's easy for us to say, oh, it's sports washing, but I think there has actually been an effective Qatar to an extent, because you look at some of the big figures in the football game, they're almost hamstrung, they can't talk out against it. You look at Gareth Southgate, who's been over issues of racism within the England squad when England have played in qualifiers in Hungary and players have been racially abused. He's been very outspoken, but he has been noticeably not outspoken about Qatar, because obviously he's the England manager, so he can't. Equally, Gary Neville, he's a bit niche, but he's in recent years he's opposed the Conservative government. He's passed.
Yeah.
He's sort of worked as a social figure for that reason, but now he's working for the Qatari state media for the World Cup. So I think they have been quite successful in their sports washing campaign. So it is important that people still realise and oppose it. But the thing is, the money in football is ludicrous. Footballers have a limited career. The World Cup only comes around once every 4 years. I think the idea of boycotting it is sort of unfeasible for legal reasons amongst lots. But the sort of campaigns that various groups are doing, I think if there was a more coordinated campaign between the different countries that are playing there, it would be more effective. The sort of small things they're doing will have some impact, but at the same time, yeah, I think it is not
definitely
not great.
And I think in light of that, then that's basically all we can do at this point is lodge our protests however we can, because it doesn't look like there is going to be any sort of wider action.